Over the next few weeks, you're going to be looking at some things that may not be talked about a lot, may not be thought about a lot, but there are things that can undermine our faith and that sabotage our faith if we're not aware of them and are not ready for them. And we're going to dig right into the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 18, to our first part of this teaching series today, sabotage. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 10 through 15. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. Text scriptures will be on the screen, all that good stuff. Let's go. Genesis chapter 8, verse 10, okay? It says, then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how can a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is so old? And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why does she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time right now. Thank you for this moment. Lord, I thank you over these next few moments that we have to look at your word and study your word together. God, I pray that we will go beyond hearing a message. But Lord, I pray each and every one of us will encounter a moment where you speak your truth, your life, your spirit comes alive on the inside of us, God, in a fresh, new way that God takes us to the next step in our walk with you. And we pray these things today in Jesus' name. Put your hands on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me do what you want me to do. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do. And be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've been leading people in that prayer for 20 years and I just messed it up for the first time in my life. I'm sorry. You know anybody that leaves way too many LOLs in their text messages? Anybody know anybody like that? Like every time you get a text, they end it with LOL, almost like a punctuation mark, almost like it's a period at the end of a sentence. You know what I mean? Like, anybody know anybody like that? It's just LOL is just rampant in text messaging. Honestly, I want to make a little stand about it. We've got to get our LOLs under control. It's getting to be a problem. It's getting to be out of control. And here's the thing: Have you ever? Because this will really break you of it. This will actually be a good fun exercise for you. Start laughing. You will LOL when you do this. Like, have you ever read a text message literally and thought to yourself, are you really LOLing at this text message? You know what I'm saying? Like for instance, you get a text that's like, hey, you want to meet somewhere for lunch? LOL. I read that literally. Hey, you want to meet somewhere for lunch? If that's how you're inviting me to lunch, I've got to think there's something weird going on. Like, no, I'm not meeting you for lunch like that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? You want to meet me for lunch? Hey, I'm going to the grocery store. That's insane. That's crazy. So sorry for your loss. You know what I mean? The LOLs are out of control, okay? Now, this story that we just read in the book of Genesis, okay, this is not an LOL, this is an LOS. Sarah laughs out in silence. Let me just break this down. Let me give you the context of what's going on. This is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is known in the Old Testament throughout the Bible as the father of the faith. Decades earlier in Abraham's life, God appears to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 15. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Just a little quick asterisk about that. Even when God first spoke this promise to Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah were barren. They were unable to have children even all the way back then. At the very first moment that God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. In fact, he says, I'm going to multiply your seed throughout the earth, and they will be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. Abraham, I'm going to build a great legacy with your life follow me. And so for decades, Abraham and Sarah have been following the Lord faithfully and following this promise that God has given them to have, to birth a great nation and to eventually have a son. Now, decades, years have gone by, and still Sarah remains barren. Still, they have not had a son. In fact, they've tried to do some things to maybe help God along and help God in the process. The Bible says that Abraham thought, well, maybe God meant that my son will be my servant and all my belongings will pass to him. And God showed up one day and said, no, it's not going to be him. Then the Bible says Sarah said, hey, maybe you should have a baby with my servant Hagar, and then that son will be the son that God talked about. So they did that. She had a baby, named him Ishmael. Ishmael and Hagar. And God said, no, Ishmael's going to be blessed too, but that's not Sarah. You are going to have a son. And so now we have this moment where the Bible says in Genesis 18, and I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but the Bible says that Abraham looks up at his tent one day and sees three visitors up by the tree, and Abraham recognizes that this is an angelic visitation. In fact, not only is it angels, the Bible, as we know, it says the Lord was there. So this is actually Jesus showing up before he showed up as Jesus, the Son of God. This was Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. And they show up, and Abraham welcomes them, and they have a meal together, and they're talking. And then all of a sudden, the Lord, this pre-incarnate, pre-New Testament showing up of Jesus, and that happens a few times in the Old Testament. The Lord looks at Abraham and says, hey, about this time next year, I'm going to come back, and Sarah is going to have that son that we've been talking about all this time. Okay? And so the Bible says that Sarah was actually in the other room. She was in the other room, and she was listening in on this conversation. And the Bible says that Sarah has an LOS. She doesn't laugh out loud, but she laughs silently to herself, is what the Bible says. Sarah makes no noise, never vocalizes it, but inwardly and silently inside of her heart, she laughs and with a doubting tone and says, there is no way that this just cannot be, okay? She laughs silently to herself. And then God confronts Sarah about her laughter that nobody heard except Sarah and the voice in her head. Isn't that wild to think about? Okay? This is one thing we need to understand, okay? I want you to get this as we talk about sabotage here, because today we're talking about silent speech that can sabotage your faith and your walk with God if you don't get it under control, okay? And here's the thing. Watch this now. Watch this. When speaking silently, be aware God is listening. Amen? When speaking silently, I need to be aware of the fact that God is listening. The little silent conversations that I have throughout the day where I'm not saying a word, I'm not moving my mouth, they're just the thoughts in my head and the attitudes in my heart. Guess what? I am not alone in those moments. God is listening, and this text absolutely proves it, because Sarah laughs silently to herself and the Lord instantly confronts the silent doubt that Sarah is vocalizing silently in her heart. Okay, this is what I need to understand. Listen to me. Silent speech that is full of doubt is still doubt. Amen? Silent speech that is full of doubt and unbelief is still doubt and unbelief. Whether I speak it vocally out loud that you can hear it or not, silent speech that's full of doubt is still doubt. And that may not, you may, well, what's the big deal? We all have doubts. We all have questions. We absolutely do. But this is the problem. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I have got to get myself out of doubt and into faith, into trusting Jesus, trusting God. And if I allow silent speech that is full of doubt and unbelief and fear to control and dominate my mind and dominate my thinking, it is going to be very difficult for me to walk in faith, following and trusting Jesus. Amen? Silent doubt is still doubt. And today, God might be wanting to confront and make you aware of some silent speech that is sabotaging your faith in this moment, in these few moments, right now. Now listen, If that happens, if you get offended, listen, I want you to see exactly, we are all going to have the propensity and the inclination to do exactly what Sarah did, where the Bible says that when Sarah was confronted, the first thing she did was go, no, that's not me. Okay, so listen, let's get that out of the way. Go ahead and deny it. Go ahead and get your lie out there. Go ahead and say, no, that's not me. So that way we can move forward and let God continue to speak and change our hearts and let the word speak to us. Amen, somebody? Because God wants to confront this silent speech. And here's why. Here's why. Because doubt will sabotage the plan of God for your life. Doubt and unbelief and a lack of faith and fear will sabotage the plan of God for your life, especially the things that I say and speak and think, apparently. I think we can see, let me show you exactly how serious God takes this. If you look back in Luke chapter 1 at the beginning story of Jesus' life when Jesus is about to be born, and the Bible says that before Jesus was born, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who was married to a priest, Zechariah, the Bible says they were also barren. They also could not have children. The Bible says Zechariah was performing his priestly duties one day in the temple. And the Bible says an angel of the Lord showed up to him, just him and an angel. Nobody else was there to see. The Bible says that the angel shows up to Zechariah and says, hey, Elizabeth's about to have a son. I want you to name him John. He's going to be John the Baptist. He's going to be the one that prepares the way for the coming of the Lord. Do you guys know John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins? They was cousins. They was family. Okay? And so John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus, we believe. So anyway, the Bible says that this angel shows up to Zechariah. Zechariah doubts, and he says, this is impossible. I can't have children. Elizabeth can't have children. There's no way. You got the wrong guy, angel, who just showed up out of nowhere. Isn't that amazing how we tell God, like, we're in the middle of this miraculous moment, and I think, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and tell God he's probably wrong here. You know what the Bible says happens to Zechariah? Wives, you're going to love this. The Bible says that because Zechariah spoke and doubted, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord shut Zechariah's mouth for the entire term of the pregnancy until after John the Baptist was born. All the ladies said amen. Okay. My wife is like, Lord, please, God, just a week of that would be wonderful. And so the Bible says, in fact, he is not able to speak for this entire time until Elizabeth gives birth, and they're like, what are we going to name the baby? And the Bible says his name is to be, Elizabeth says we're supposed to name him John. And the Bible says that all the people around were like, you don't have anybody in your family named John, you can't name him John. Like, who you, I name my baby whatever I want. You can't name him John. The Bible says they looked at the dad because we know, let's just face it, the dad is going to be the final answer. That's just what it is. I'm sorry. I had all the ladies on my side for just a moment, and now I just flipped it. Okay, so I'm playing. But they go to Zechariah. They say, what do you want to name the baby? What are we going to name the baby? The Bible says he writes on a tablet. Still can't talk yet. Writes on a tablet. His name is John. Flips it over. The Bible says as soon as he showed him what he wrote down, his mouth was open and he was able to speak. So for a period of 9 months, Zechariah, you say, well, why did he do that? Here's why. Because this plan, the plan of salvation that God had laid out since the foundations of the world, the Bible says, God was not about to let Zechariah's doubting tongue and doubting word sabotage the plan that had been laid out since the foundations of the world. So he said, look, if you're going to speak all this garbage, if you're going to speak a bunch of doubt and negativity, we're going to have to just shut the whole thing down for 9 months, because that's how serious it is, because doubt will sabotage the plan of God. So when Sarah doubts, even silently, God confronts it right away. Why? Because doubt will sabotage the plan of God in my life. So God confronts it right away to say, hey, we got to deal with that. We got to take care of that. You got to shut that down. We are not going to let sabotage, even silent sabotage, derail the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. It's too important. It's too big a deal. Amen, somebody? Now, it's very natural we can understand why Sarah doubted. She is 89 years old at this time. Abraham is 99 years old at this time, okay? And you might, well, that's the Bible times. Yeah, they lived a little bit longer, but that time had already been passed. Abraham lives to be about almost 200. Sarah is going to die just a few, about at about 127. She passes away. And the Bible says that they were already, even though it was a different time in the Old Testament and they were still living a little longer than we normally live today, the Bible says they were already well past the time of having children. Amen? Having children is a young man's game. We've got a kindergarten. We got one starting their senior year in high school, and we got one starting kindergarten this year. It's a little weird. It's a little bit of a head trip. You know what I mean? And it's a head trip being the 40-year-old dad taking his kid to kindergarten with, and there's nothing but, like, you know, I'm looking around, I'm like, they're letting all these kids have kids now. This is crazy. They're all like 20 in their 20s, but, you know, that's where I am. I'm that old guy that, like, if you're in your 20s, you're a kid now. You know what I mean? Some of you are like, you're still a kid, pup. I'm like, okay, whatever. They were well past the age of having kids. She had been waiting and following and believing for this promise for literally decades of her life, 30, 40 years, still hasn't taken place. Listen, friends, she was worn out waiting. And some of you can relate to that. Some of you right now got some stuff that you've been believing God for a long time. Some of you got some stuff that God put in your heart years ago, maybe decades ago, that you've been carrying around and still hasn't come to pass. That vision still hasn't come to fruition. That thing that God spoke and put in your heart that you've been praying for still hasn't come out. You still haven't seen it yet. In fact, you might look around and think, man, I'm further away now from that than I ever was, and you might be worn out in the waiting. And here's the problem. See, her silent speech where she said, this is what she says. The Bible says she laughed to herself and she said, how can a worn out woman like me? That's how she was talking about herself. But her silent speech also revealed how she saw the world, because she said, how can a worn out woman like me have a baby? And she said, when my husband is also old and worn out himself. She just threw Abraham right under the bus along with herself. She said, I'm worn out. Abraham's worn out. Here's the problem. When you get worn out in the waiting and you get worn out in yourself, you know what will happen? You'll begin to see the world and everyone else around you worn out and full of no good thing, full of no possibility, full of no potential, the same as you see yourself. So not only does that silent talk and that silent speech and the conversations that I have with myself, not only does it affect the way that I see myself, it will begin to spill out and affect the way that I see everyone else around me. I'm worn out. Abraham's worn out. We're old. We're tired. We've been believing this for a long time. I just don't think it's gonna happen. And listen to me. If that's where you are, and if that's how you're feeling, and if that's where you relate to right now in this story, I want you to listen to me. Don't miss this part. Number one, listen. It is normal to get worn out in the waiting. It is normal. In fact, the Proverbs in the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's normal. The longer you hold out for something, the longer you want something, the longer you believe for something, that eventually it will wear you down. Believing and exercising faith and praying for something and speaking the word of God for something and dealing with that silence. And listen, it will wear you out. That's normal. It's normal to be there. And this is what you need to understand, but this is the good news part. Listen to me. Sarah was worn out. She's 89 years old. Abraham is 99 years old. He is worn out as well by all standards and metrics and to the naked eye. But listen, you might be worn out. You might feel worn out. Your situation might be worn out, but I want you to know something. God's not worn out. Amen. Amen, somebody. Listen, I may feel worn out, but God's word isn't. Sarah was worn out, but God's promise wasn't. Abraham was old and wore out, but God's word was just about to get started. Listen, you might feel worn out, but God's word isn't. God's promise, God's word, God's spirit, God's presence, God's plan, it will not wear out for your life. Amen, somebody. How many are thankful that even though I feel worn out, I can rest assured knowing God's word isn't worn out for my life? Amen, somebody. And in fact, it's important to note here that not only was God's word not worn out, But at the moment, Sarah, after believing for all these years that this was going to happen, after trying to work situation after situation out and figure out what God meant all those years ago when he said that, and trying it with Ishmael and Hagar and trying it with all these other things. Listen, at the moment that she was worn out, said, man, it's never going to happen, was actually the exact moment that God said, oh yeah, it's actually going to happen right now. In fact, the moment that Sarah was at her weariest, God's word was at his nearest. The moment that Sarah was just at the breaking point of saying it's never going to happen was the exact moment that God said, now it's going to happen. So if you are feeling like never before, like quitting, like giving up, like throwing in the towel, like, man, God's word, I missed God. I didn't hear God. I must have just misbelieved or misunderstood. It's never going to happen. Listen, you might be right at the point where God is showing up saying, hey, it is going to happen, and it's going to happen right now. Because at the weariest, God's promise was at his nearest. At the weariest moment, and this is what I want to encourage you with, don't miss God saying, now is the time, because you got so worn out in the waiting that you gave up altogether. And that's why God confronts and says, hey, why you what are you laughing about over there? What's so funny? Why are you doubting? I didn't doubt. She didn't. She was just saying it to herself. Ooh, I know. Yeah, you did. Nobody heard it but me, but you were. Now's the time. So how do I do that? How do I not get worn out in the waiting? How do I deal with the silent talk that we have? How do I deal with those silent questions and fears and doubts and worries that come up in my mind over and over and over again? Here's what this story gives us an example to do. We've got to ask better questions. The Bible says that Sarah asked, how can this be? I'm old and worn out, and Abraham is too. How in the world can this happen? God answered her question with a better question. God said, why did you laugh? Is there anything too hard for God? See what he did there? The Lord gives us a pattern of what we can do when those questions, which are completely normal to come up when we're worn out in the waiting and we believe for something, we go, man, how in the world can this happen? How in the world am I going to get free from this? How in the world is this situation going to work out? How, I don't see any way out. I don't see any means for this to happen. We got to start asking ourselves a better question. Instead of asking, how can this happen? I got to start asking, is there anything my God can't do? I need to ask, instead of asking, man, how can I take care of this? I need to ask myself, Is there any way that God can't take care of this? Come on, somebody. What I'm saying is this. We got to ask better questions. I got to confront questions of doubt with better questions of faith. I've got to confront the questions of doubt that come up in my life silently that I don't want to even talk about or tell anybody about. I need to allow myself, when those do, to come up and ask a better question. I'll tell you right now, this literally just happened, like the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing. When you walk with God and you have a relationship with Jesus, and when you're having a conversation with yourself, and all of a sudden, and I don't know if you've ever, I've experienced a lot in my life where the Holy Spirit I've experienced the Holy Spirit invading my private talks that I'm having all by myself silently in my head. Amen? Anybody else ever had that? I don't think I'm crazy. Like, this literally just happened to me the other day. I was doing something, and I was just thinking about a couple situations that were stressing me out, and I literally caught myself. I was literally going, man, how in the world am I going to work this out? Man, God bless America. How in the world are we going to do this? And I literally heard the Holy Spirit. I'd already, like, this was like 3 days ago, 2 days ago. I'd already had this in, like, this sermon, this message was already ready to go, right? And the Holy Spirit was like, why don't you practice what you preach? I was like, why don't you shut up? No, I'm just kidding. So you know what I did? I started asking a better question. Instead of me going, man, how in the world am I going to do this? I started going, man, how in the world can God not take care of this? How in the world is my God not big enough to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory? How in the world is God not going to provide for me when he's promised to be a good Jehovah Jireh provider? Come on, somebody. And you know what happened? I started to ask better questions. All of a sudden, I felt faith rise up in my spirit. And where I was discouraged and kind of in a bad mood, I had a bad attitude, all of a sudden, I felt a spirit of faith come alive on the inside of me. Why? Because I decided I'm going to ask a better question. I've got to confront questions of doubt with better questions of faith. How in the world am I going to walk through the season of sickness? That's the wrong question. How in the world will my God, who has died, who took Jesus, who took stripes on his back and has promised that by his stripes I'm healed, how is he not going to heal me and deliver me from this? Amen, somebody. There's too much month left over at the end of the money. How are we going to make it, God? How are we going to do it? No, that's the wrong question. The question I should be asking is, how is the God who has promised to be my provider, how is he not going to provide for my needs according to his riches and glory like his word said do? Amen. Come on, somebody. Ask a better question. Ask a better question. Confront questions of doubt with better questions of faith. I tell you what, we can even ask some other questions I might ask about Sarah. If I was talking to Sarah, I might say, hey, Sarah, why don't you ask yourself this? Were you barren when God gave that promise to you? Is your situation, even though it hasn't changed, is it new to God? Did God know who he was talking to when he gave that word? Come on, somebody. Because if God knew who I was when he gave me that promise, that has to mean that he had every intention of making it happen in that situation. He did not speak without the intent of doing and delivering on what he spoke. Amen, somebody. So I might ask myself, listen, if God gave me a word, if God called me, if God anointed me, if God came to me in my mess, in my brokenness, in my barrenness, in my situation that I was in, listen, does that must mean that he's going to do something about the situation? If the situation I'm in needs to change for God's word to come true in my life, and God spoke the word before my situation changed, that must mean God knows something I don't know, and that is that my situation eventually is gonna change. Amen, somebody. Ask some better questions. Ask better questions. Ask questions. Don't miss this. Ask questions that focus on God's ability rather than my inability. Amen? Stop asking questions that are all about what you can't do. Ask questions that point to what God can do. Ask better questions, okay? Now listen. The reason right now that you're here, if you're online, the reason that you're tuning in right now is not because anybody's trying to make you feel bad and make you think, oh, I've been doing all this wrong. It's this. It's because God wants to confront this thing that might be sabotaging your walk with him, because he's got a great plan for you. Amen? Hey, listen, if you're thinking, well, I've lived my whole life allowing these conversations on my head. I've never confronted that. I go home and I'm in the shower and I'm laying down my head at night and I just have all these fears and I have these conversations going on in me all the time. I mean, I've spoken so much sabotage over my life. I don't know if there's any way possible. No. The reason we're here right now, and that the reason the Holy Spirit was to confront it, is because he wants to undo the Sabbath. Here's what you need to know. Listen. The sabotage of our silent speech, listen, God's grace is too big for it. Not only is God's grace too big for it, but watch this. A word of faith can undo and is bigger than a silent words of doubt. Amen. Let me show you what happened real quick here. I'm not going to read it all, but in the chapter before this, see, the reason Abraham was keyed in, I believe, on seeing these visitors that show up and was understanding what was going on, is because the chapter before this, the Bible says that the Lord showed up to Abraham, just Jesus and Abraham again. And the Lord gives Abraham by himself the exact same word. You read this in Genesis 17? Gives Abraham the exact same word. This time, so when Abraham shows up to this situation that Sarah's listening in on, this is actually the second time that Abraham's getting this promise within just a few days, within a close time frame. And the same word, Sarah's going to have a baby within a year from now. Within a year, I'm going to come back, Sarah's going to have a baby. You know, if you read that carefully, you'll see, you know what happened? The Bible says Abraham laughed. The Bible says Abraham laughed and said to the Lord out loud, man, how's that going to happen? And it doesn't say it in Scripture, but the Lord doesn't correct or confront Abraham. And he makes it very clear. In fact, the Bible says they're having this conversation, Abraham laughs, says, how's that going to happen? And then the Bible says Abraham kneels down and says, yes, my son Ishmael will be blessed. And then the Lord confirms it and says, no. Sarah's going to have a son. There's no confronting. There's no, hey, what are you laughing about? So the only thing that we can gather, the only thing that I can gather from that, that the Lord confronts Sarah and not Abraham, is that these were two different laughs. Sarah laughed in doubt silently. Abraham laughed in faith out loud. And Abraham's faith out loud was already set in motion and undoing the sabotage that Sarah silently had in her life. And so what I'm saying is this. I can either laugh silently in doubt or I can laugh out loud in faith. But I want you to know that when I laugh out loud in faith, the faith and out loud faith and the grace of a good God will undo the sabotage. Let me say it this way. The sabotage of my silent doubt is not bigger than the grace of God and an out loud faith of laughter. Come on, somebody. Well, how do I know that? Well, I know that because 3 chapters later and 1 year later, Sarah's holding a baby. God's got promises to make good on in your life and to bring into your life. Let's not sabotage them. Amen, somebody. Stand all over this place this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit might have brought you into this moment today and has led us to this message and this whole series because, man, God wants to open our eyes to things that are silently sabotaging your walk with God. You might be thinking, man, why am I spinning my wheels? Why am I never making any traction? Why do I feel further away from God and His Word and His promise and what I thought it was supposed to be? Man, there might be some things that God is confronting right now, saying, hey, there's some speech that you're having, and you don't think anybody hears it, but He hears it. And God, you need to get that under control. Now listen, don't just deny it outright and try to deflect like Sarah did here. Listen, the answer that we need to do, if we're feeling convicted right now, what we need to do is repent. Okay? Now repent doesn't mean you come to an altar. It can sometimes. But repent, when I say repent, that doesn't mean you come to an altar and weep and cry and wail and tell God how sorry you are. That might be a part of it, but repentance really means to change your mind. It means to go another direction. So the repentance needs to be, I need to change my mind. And I need to start recognizing when I'm having these silent conversations that are actually sabotaging and undermining the cause that God has in my life. Amen? Some of you, the Lord might be getting real specific. The Holy Spirit I just sense that in my heart. The Holy Spirit might be getting real specific with some of you and bringing some situations in your mind, not to make you feel bad, but to let you know, hey, this is what we're talking about. That conversation you had in the car the other day on your way to work, where you just ran yourself down and ran down my plan for your life, and listen, that was potential of sabotage. Let's not do that again. Let's catch ourselves in that. Amen, somebody? The next time you have a question of doubt, it's okay, have a question. Just make sure you ask a better one. Ask a better follow-up. Amen? Just close your eyes with me all over this room. If you're at home, you can do the same thing. Just join with us right now. I'm going to pray. And if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're not a follower of Jesus, you've never taken the step of inviting Him to be the Lord of your life and receiving His sacrifice that He gave for you and I 2,000 years ago, I want you to know right now you can do that today. you can do that today. In fact, I would encourage you to make that the very next thing you do. And in fact, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do that today. And I know this message wasn't necessarily, we weren't in it, but listen, if you're in this place, listen, you're far from God. You're not serving Him. Maybe you used to. Maybe you used to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you never have. And right now, there's something saying, man, there's more. I believe there's something more to my life that I need that I don't have right now. Listen, I can tell you right now what that thing is. That thing is Jesus. And the first step to undoing the sabotaging of God's plan in your life is to get your life right with Jesus and to accept what He did for you 2,000 years ago. Well, what's that? What did He do? Well, the Bible and history tells us that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, being both God and man, gave His life up on a cross at a hill called Calvary, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And He really did that. He really allowed nails to go into His hands and His feet. He really, really died. But not only did He really die and shed His blood, the Bible says that 3 days later, He really rose from the dead. And right now, He is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And no matter where your background has brought you from, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter how much sabotage or sin or any other things that you can imagine that you would say, God surely doesn't want me, I want you to know that right now Jesus is standing in heaven with His arms open wide, ready to welcome you home. And today I invite you in the name of Jesus to come home to God. He loves you. He is for you. He is not mad at you. He wants you and invites you to receive everything that His sacrifice on the cross did for you. In fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Whether you're online or in this building, I'm going to invite you right now. I'm not going to call you down front. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to invite some of you to raise your hands. If that's where you are, say, man, I want to make that commitment to Jesus. I want to know this Jesus. I'm not asking you about religion. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm talking about accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and coming into a relationship with a risen Savior that loves you and has nothing but the best intent for your life and will lead us and show us how to get there through His Spirit and through His Word. Right now, if that's where you are, say, man, I want to make that step today. I want to make that decision today. Will you just raise your hand all over this room? If you're online, you can drop a raised hand emoji. You just say, yes, I'm praying that prayer today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I want everyone in this room, or if you're at home watching online, pray this prayer with me out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. When we're done praying, when we dismiss today, if you are praying that prayer and you raised your hand, I want you to go to redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle of the page is a big graphic that says, are you ready to say yes to Jesus? Click on that video, man. It'll take 10 minutes, and we explain in pretty good detail, just giving you some answers to what this prayer means. But you don't have to understand it all to receive it all. I have no idea how my truck engine works, but that doesn't stop me from turning the key and driving home in a few moments. Amen, somebody? You don't have to have it all figured out before you receive it and have it working for your life. But I want to encourage you, like I said, right now we're going to pray. We're going to pray everyone out loud with me so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me your son or your daughter in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, lead me and help me to follow Jesus from this moment on. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me yours in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, church, can we just rejoice with those that have prayed that, making that commitment this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, want to talk about what we just prayed, you can come find me. You can find one of our elders. We'll be hanging out. We'll be around. Don't leave this place with questions unasked or prayers unprayed. Right now, I want to pray over every one of us that the Lord would convict us of silent speech and that the Lord has to help us to ask better questions. Amen? Amen? How many want the Lord to help you ask better questions? Amen? Come on, raise your hand. Receive this right now. Heavenly Father, I pray right now over each and every one of us. God, I thank you first and foremost that your grace And your word and your word out loud in faith is bigger than any silent speech and sabotage that could be set forth against our lives. And I thank you for that being an operation in me in Jesus' name. But Lord, I thank you for confronting me, Lord, and for showing me areas where I'm allowing silent sabotage to take place and undermine your cause and your purpose for my life. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will anoint us and help us to confront questions of doubt with better questions of faith. Lord, I pray that you help us to confront areas of doubt and areas of our inability with questions of your ability, Lord. And I pray right now for every person that is weary and worn out, God, that we will find strength and encouragement knowing that your promise has not worn out for our lives. In Jesus' precious name, receive this blessing from the Lord right now. Stretch your hands towards me. I'm going to bless you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name.